Hey guys, what's going on? It's Tony. Just giving you a heads up, the show cuts off prematurely all the way at the end because the internet died, which sucks. But we were just talking about the games we were playing. We were already done with the news, but just wanted to give you the heads up. Anyway, enjoy the show. Throwdown episode 234. I'm your host Tony Polanco, which I'm joined by Emilio Lopez,
Ali of Abois,
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo.
Brian Manjoma.
Hello.
Adam Vale.
Spoiler: Rambo did it.
And joining us once again, Mr. Brett Murdoch.
I have returned.
How's things going, Brett?
The prodigal son returns.
What's going on, man? So, what were you up to, man? Were you rescuing any princesses or anything from the evil wizard?
Oh, well, I mean, that's just my Sundays. The rest of the time, I was at the Kansas City Villain Arts tattoo. So that was fun. I always love hauling my shit 4 miles away from the place that I work and have maybe five people because that's the way the tattoo industry works.
Oh, man.
Did you lug it, or did you have a bunch of cronies do it?
Oh, I mean, I had cronies do it.
But... There you go.
Cronies or, let's say, we call it a henchman.
Yeah, I still had to supervise.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So he did something, you know?
No, I really didn't. I'm getting the point of her. I'm like, yeah, snack his box. All right, somebody carry this out to the car. I'm going to drive up to the convention. I mean, I started to, like, show up at 8 a.m., but... Pretty much, I'd be like, "All right, I'm doing my tattoo. Somebody watch the booth. I'm leaving."
I'm like, I imagine it'd be like this: "You over there, what's your name? Get that thing. Put it over there."
I know his name.
Now, Brett, do you feel comfortable sharing the story you told me before we got on air? Because it's pretty funny.
I'm sharing what story is that?
I remember when I asked you what was the craziest thing you saw at the convention, and you told me, and I busted out laughing.
Right.
Go ahead.
Weird or crazy at the convention. And I said there was this one thing where a guy who was doing live human suspension climbed up to the top of his rig and then leapt down, tearing the hook out of his back, dropping to the floor and breaking both of his ankles to the point where the bone shattered out of the skin.
Shit. damn.
Jeez.
That's some Mortal Kombat shit.
So, are you sure you weren't at the Cirque du Soleil convention? What the fuck?
Oh, no, they do live human. Here's the funny thing. They also did live human suspensions on Saturday.
They just kept going.
They kept doing it. It wasn't the same guy, obviously.
No, it was a different person. Apparently, they had back and multiple shows.
I just wonder to myself, like, you know, when people find out they have these mysterious skills, so how do you figure out that you have the ability to stick piercings into your back and suspend yourself from a ceiling?
A very honest answer to that, I believe it's a spectrum. The very end of the spectrum is honestly the people who are self-harmers. They get a huge endorphin response from any sort of self-harm. So I know there's, in the piercing community, there's a lot of people who do like play piercings and things like that. There are people who have a very high pain tolerance. They get a very high release of endorphins. And they're the kind of people who are like, yes, I want to be a human block. The people that like pound the nails in their head, they are actually pounding the nails into their head. That's not a trick. I know a girl... she puts a 7-inch spike through the bottom of her jaw, like puts it in her mouth and then spikes it out the bottom. And it's not a trick. She is piercing her head with a giant fucking skewer.
Damn.
That's brutal, man.
Yeah, people are like, what's the trick to that? Metal is sharp.
Oh, good.
Don't you remember when people were putting hooks in their backs and then in their chest underneath the muscles and shit?
Oh,
that's what human suspension is.
Yeah, I remember seeing that. Yeah, they used to do that live at the club at Worcester Hall. They had people that would come in and pull that shit. I'm like, that's fucking crazy.
And I honestly hear it like, and I would never do it, but I've heard human suspension is, if you can do it, it's an insane experience. Because when you get lifted up, like there's this weird sensation of weightlessness and your body just starts like pumping out endorphins that you go into this weird kind of euphoric spiritual trip experience. Like people explain it really weird, but you know, to get there, you have to be hung by giant bloody hooks. So I'll take their word for it.
You know, it's like, I'm good, man. I'm good. Yeah, anyway, Brett, good to have you back, man. We managed to make the shows long enough without you, because we're like an hour. It's like, oh, we're almost done. Fuck. but we did it. We did it.
Somebody yell about something.
Yeah, exactly. All right. And then, of course, another thing, you know, we got to talk about a contest that we're starting now and we're officially kicking off tomorrow. So, Manny, what's going on, man?
We are giving away a copy of Excellence Number One, the comic book that I do at Skybound with Kari Randolph and Brendan Thomas. This cover specifically is an exclusive to One Shop, One Stop Shop Comics out in Massachusetts. And this is a cover that I did. We're giving away that, as well as a special poster of our main character, Spencer, looking all cool and badass right here.
Nice.
And both of these will be signed by myself. Tony, how are we going to give this away?
All right. Like we always do, people, you got to follow us on the Twitter and follow us on Twitch. Both of those are at Throwdown Show. And we're going to have a question that we're going to have pinned tomorrow. It's going to ask you, because again, we recognize not everybody reads comics, so we're keeping it simple for everybody.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite comic book character? You answer that. You know, we're going to have the thing up there for like about a week or so. And then next week on Throwdown 235, and yes, man, it is 235. I had it right the first time.
We
will announce the winner who will be selected at random. So again, a little bit of a different, you know, different like contest for us, but come on, man, what other podcast has a fucking comic book professional giving away shit that he created, you know? Yep. So there you go, man. So good luck to everybody.
And we're gonna do the usual thing. We're randomly, you know, pick it from the hat and then see who wins.
Also, I edited this part out of the video, but I want you to talk about it now. This is the first comic that you've ever worked on that actually has a second printing.
Yes, this is actually the first comic that I have done a second printing. Remember the poster that I just showed you, which I'm going to show you again.
Yeah.
Right. That is actually was a promotional piece that was done for Previews magazine. Well, we found out not long ago that we just announced that they're going to do a second printing with that as the cover, which is awesome, which I was hoping that would be a cover, because when we first did it, we didn't know it was just going to be a cover for Previews. We just, this is going to be the cover. No. So now it actually is the cover, which is great.
Yeah. Hopefully, you know, the rest of the series has like multiple printings too, because that means it's selling, you know?
I hope so. I hope that, you know how it is in comics. And this is not my first rodeo, releasing a book, you know. Every single time, you know, it's issue one, it's always the big, that's the big one. Everybody wants to scramble and catch it. And then slowly but surely, everything starts to kind of taper down. That's kind of what happened with us on Mosaic. The love was really big on the first one, the first few ones, and it just slowly but surely it dropped off until at some point when we the numbers are getting so low, we hear from editorial, hey, you know, we're going to be canceling the book at issue 8. So hopefully all goes good and we can continue to do this for, for a full graphic novel or two. And that would be great.
Yeah, man. But just the fact that the first printing sold out is pretty badass.
Yeah, people seem that there's a lot, you know, Skybound, and you know, it's really kind of putting a lot of behind it, and there's also a lot of news outlets that seem to really like it. So, you know, I've been doing this working with Kari for around 10 years now. 2009 is when I first started working with him on Kara's Magic the Death Princess. And then just throughout the years, we've just kind of been jumping from different things, from We Are Robin to Mosaic from Marvel to, you know, we did Static Shock at DC. We did a bunch of different stuff. And it's nice to finally see that something that we're doing, even though we put all of our effort into it, is actually doing quite well with the folks out there.
That's awesome. All right, man. With that, let us get into some gaming news. We're just going to talk about the big one right now. So Sony and Microsoft are partnering for gaming and cloud services. What? Sony and Microsoft working together? How is this possible?
Dogs and cats living together. That's hysteria.
Different department. It's just the enterprise back end.
Yeah. Well, Adam, since you're talking, what are your thoughts?
Oh, because this is, you know, shit that we've been working with for a long time. This is just Azure. It's, of course, that we're going to go with them. You're not going to go third party with some crap shit. So they might as well work with them for. Well, but it's not the gaming department. This is the enterprise end of Microsoft.
They're obviously not going to be using friggin' Google, right?
Yeah.
You know, and to be honest, if you're going to go with anybody, you're going to go with Azure, right? The comparable other version of that.
And it's best that they work that way as opposed to try to come up with their own version and fuck it up. So.
Yeah, exactly. So what you do, we call up Microsoft. Hey, you know how to do this shit, right? Yeah. And they're like, yep, we do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, Chris, what are your thoughts, man?
Well, it's a good idea because Sony cannot put out the infrastructure that's already laid out. So you have the big players, right? You have Google, but Google's putting their eggs in Stadia, right? So you can't partner with them. You got Amazon, who has a ton of data centers, but I would think the cost of using Amazon's enterprise level is probably too high for Sony, and it's a mutually beneficial partnership for them to use Enterprise Azure, which Microsoft has the infrastructure and the data centers all over the world, and they're already proved that it works because Xbox Live is running off of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it totally makes sense for Sony to move PSN to an enterprise platform like that, and then I don't know about PlayStation Now and all that stuff in view. The TV stuff, but at least for PSN and game services, it makes sense.
Yeah, Carlos.
Yeah, pretty much echoing what everyone else is saying. Like, obviously, Sony doesn't really have; they're not really profitable in a lot of their ventures. Like, I think the gaming division is like probably their most profitable like division they have. So I don't know whether like it's not useful for them to sort of invest R&D and all these resources into their own thing. So out of all the big players, I think the big three, like are mentioned, Google, Amazon, and Microsoft. And yeah, I don't think this is, people are going to say, oh, does that mean Gears of War is going to be on the PlayStation and,
The
Last of Us is going to be on the Xbox? No, that doesn't mean anything like that. And I doubt anything like that's going to happen. It's just a service that Microsoft provides that Sony can use.
Yeah. And I mean, I feel like it probably will improve a lot of the, you know, the back end on a lot. If they do use it on the consoles and stuff like that, right. Is maybe the stores will run a little bit better. Maybe even running their what is that service? Their, you know, Gaikai and stuff like that, you know, running that might be a lot PS better. Now. Yeah. PS Now. Yeah.
By the way, Glorious War doesn't seem to be happy about anything we're saying.
What?
He goes, Sony was using AWS, but probably Microsoft gave them a better deal. Not true again, Carlos.
Well, no, I just said that. I just said Amazon was too expensive. And that's what I literally said. They go with Azure because AWS was too expensive. I just said Amazon is the next biggest player after Google. And then you have Microsoft. But Microsoft has a better worldwide enterprise.
Yeah, Glorious War. You got to explain what was Carlos wrong about. I didn't.
Yeah, hear I don't know. What.
Didn't Carlos only say I agree with?
Yeah, he agreed with you. So you're both wrong.
He totally deleted your.
He agreed. He disagrees with your agreement, Carlos.
Maybe he disagrees with me, but I did say Amazon was probably too expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thing is that, like, to be honest, it's like, why are you even worried about how this is going to go, man?
It's because of the clickbait headlines that were pointing in that weird direction. That what they're working together? It's like,
hey, I got news for you. Like, friggin', you know, Microsoft and Sony are working in all kinds of other different departments. I mean, mm-hmm. at some point, there's probably a Microsoft, a friggin' Sony chip inside of the Microsoft console, and vice versa. It's just the way it was. I mean, Nintendo for years had Sony made microchips and Sony sound chip inside of it.
The Xbox has a Blu-ray drive.
I was about to say that.
Xbox has a Blu-ray drive. What is that? So they're working together. Yeah. The thing is, listen, I'm going to tell you this. Like, when people in the industry are not like, oh, I hate that guy. No, they have fucking lunch together. Some people probably know each other. There's probably a bunch of people. They go to golf,
you know? Yeah.
You know, there is no, you know what they do? The only reason why they even sort of push that little bit of console war bullshit is to get you all bent out of shape and to be like, this is a better one.
And to go buy their product. Like, come on, you got to support the blue team. Let's go. You know,
Team Green bleed, mother.
There you go. Team Green. Oh, shit.
Listen, you know, number one, I don't think it's going to be a problem. And to be honest, I'm sure friggin' Microsoft uses Sony shit too. So it's like,
well, you're not sure, you know, for a fact they do. Blu-rays, baby.
They use them Blu-rays and a bunch of other things. The only company that was ever sketchy about using anything other from other companies was fucking Nintendo.
Yeah, that's it. They got the bitter cake. They're the real ones. They hate everybody.
I mean, Nintendo didn't want to use Microsoft shit and, you know, or Sony televisions.
Yeah, the Sony televisions.
Yeah. Brian,
I'm not surprised they are working together on like this. It's interesting. I'd like to know what the applications will be, but until then, I will just like, okay, cool. Let's see what happens here. And again, and like Carlos, I agree with Chris.
Oh, everybody's
wrong. And I agree with Brian.
And I agree with Brian too.
Hey, I don't see this as a horrible thing. But then again, I don't think about it. I mean, I'm sure everybody else doesn't think about it that way either. Like this kind of console war silliness. No.
He says, I'm not a fan of mega corporations. Wish we had stronger antitrust laws in the U.S. This has nothing to do with that, though. They're not merging into one company. No.
They're only just using a service.
Yeah,
they're using a service that many, many, many other companies use. A lot of large companies use Azure.
It's like you're using PSN.
Yeah.
Sony is using Azure. I don't think it has nothing to do with sort of antitrust laws.
Yeah, it has absolutely nothing to do. They're not Sony and Microsoft are not merging.
They're not merging. It's just they're using a service that Microsoft just so happens to offer. I mean, to be honest, I mean, Microsoft is not just one portion of that company. It's not the games division. It's not the UI division. It hits a bunch of different things that we don't even see every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's better for Sony. They don't have to waste all this money on this infrastructure. There's already something that they can use that's going to do exactly what they want their service to do.
And they can focus on other shit.
Exactly. Like games.
Yeah, like games.
That's what they do, man. All right.
I'm sure on Microsoft's side, they're like, hey, man, you give us a good deal on those Blu-ray shits, right? And they're like, yeah. Have some of those Blu-rays.
Why does he sound like Stan Lee?
Hey, have those Blu-rays.
This is similar to, like, look, like Epic competes with other people in terms of video games, right? But how many companies license the Unreal Engine who are competitors of Epic? Like, most of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, it's just you use the technology. They license out the technology, use it. They happen to be using it to compete at the same level, but you're not all using it for the same thing.
Yeah. Brett, get in here, man. What are your thoughts?
I don't really have any.
That's me. I'm like, I don't care. That's why I had the other guys. I'm like, I honestly have no opinion on this. I'm like, okay.
It's the same architecture. Who cares?
Yeah.
Glorious Horse says, I mean, there are only three big providers for cloud tech. I mean, there's a lot, but yeah, there's three huge ones, and then there's just
But it takes a lot of money to do that.
But yeah, I think it's not wise. It's not wise for Sony to invest in this, at least in my opinion. So it works. It works for them. I don't know. I don't see this as an issue. Like sometimes these corporations can get too big, but in this case, I don't think anybody should be bothered about it too.
Yeah, because I mean, you know, you're seeing Twitter right now. These guys are going crazy and stuff. It's like, come on, guys.
Yeah, for them, it's fueling the console wars. It's like, but I mean, that's what they live for.
Yep, pretty much. I know Big Mike was like, "Oh man, you guys are going to spend the whole show talking about this." Like, not really much to say. No, use a service. You know,
yeah. I mean, to be honest, it's like, you know, hey, just you realize that that friggin' Xboxes and PlayStations are literally made in the same fucking place in China.
Yeah. That is and true.
Apple products.
Yeah.
They also, that same company also makes iPhones and fucking Nintendo products. Yeah. They all make them in the same place.
Yeah, AMD makes both of their SoCs. So, I mean, at their core, they're running the same exact thing.
Yeah.
Like also, the glass that's on like your phones, like on all the phones, like the Apple phones and the Samsung phones, it's pretty much one company that provides all that.
Yeah, man, there's more cross-pollination than you think, you know? There's no, like, rigid dividing lines unless you're Nintendo, you know?
Everybody thinks everyone has a Willy Wonka chocolate factory type of setup, and they're doing everything in-house.
They're like, you know? Come without me to the world of pure imagination.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, come on now. Where was he getting the peanuts? Where was he getting the peanuts? Come on.
Oh yeah, man.
It's not like Willy Wonka had a peanut farm. He went to somebody else.
Exactly.
Yeah, man. No, he had his own elephants, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Willy Wonka probably had some sort of like weird mutant thing that makes peanuts.
Yeah, right.
He outsourced all of his employees.
Yeah. Where were those guys from?
Yeah. Oh, I was going to make a joke, but I'll stop myself.
The Oompa Loompas, there man. There's
his paper wrapping section. He never showed that. I mean, somebody's in. Where's the art department? These guys weren't doing the art. Was he doing the art?
I just want to know if those Oompa Loompas were legal, man. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
yeah,
shit.
Man. Yeah, man. He's freaking hiring illegal, you know, cheap illegal workers.
They had different laws in Germany.
That's he's got illegal midgets.
He's got these illegal little people working in the factories.
That's why he didn't want anybody in.
Yeah, see, there you go. See, that's why the real Slugworth would have caught his ass on that shit.
And it's also why he wanted kids to come in, because if the kids come out and start saying it, he'd be like, you know, kids say some dumb shit.
Yeah,
come on, like, little people, really? You're going to believe that kid, like, if the kid's eating his boogies, come on now.
Obviously, if you say it to a kid, they think, oh, it's a world of pure imagination, and the little people that don't get paid very well, but that's okay, because they're magical.
Yeah, they're sending it back home.
Once they walked in, they can't say shit.
Yep. Oh, yeah, he did. He had him sign a non-disclosure agreement.
Yeah, he couldn't say anything. They couldn't do anything. Everything gets voided, blah, blah, blah. They lose all the stuff. So, yeah, that's why he didn't give a shit. People got Yeah, they were like, oh, why did he walk around? No one would do that. I'm like, damn, anybody would if you had them sign all their rights away. I was like, shit, you sign all your rights away? I can curse at you, spit in your face. You're okay with that? Yep, okay, well, let's go.
That's why he murdered the ones who went into the labs.
Damn. Yeah.
He didn't care.
All right, man, that was hilarious.
That's your world of paired imagination.
Yeah, Rez. As you know, man. All right, let's move on here. To be honest, the rest of the news that happened this week kind of sucked, but whatever. The Epic Game Store eats costs during their first big sale. So apparently they're like giving games away or something. Not literally, but you know, they're selling.
They're having really their cheap. First sale right now, right?
Yeah, and they're selling games for like $10.
Real
off.
And new shit too. That John Wick one I was talking about, it's like for $5 now.
What?
Yeah, so basically if a game costs $15 or more, you get it for $10 off.
All right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're apparently eating those costs, man. That's pretty interesting. So
well, that's, they want people to come shop.
Yeah, man, that's what it's about. You know, they're trying to get everybody in there, you know. Mm-hmm. My question is for you guys, is anybody going to dive in and try this stuff?
That's a negative.
No, I'm not really that interested in it. I mean, then again, I don't play PC games that way, so.
I'm going to say that's a negative from all of us, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I don't want to waste my games right now.
Yeah. What about you guys out there in listening? Would you go with this? Because like a lot of games that are, you know, pretty new that are for pretty low prices.
And I believe the sale's going to go on for a while. June 13th, E3 basically. So there you go.
That's interesting for me as well. Purely just because of the practices. I don't want to support them and what they're doing. I don't believe that that's how the market should be. So, no matter how many free games they give out or how many sales they have, it's like, nope, I'm not buying it. Kind of like the thing that happened with the Division 2, or are we going to talk about that in the show notes?
What's going on with Division 2?
Apparently, the second one sold 10 times as much as more on Uplay than the first one.
Interesting. And that's because
that first one was only on Uplay and Steam, mm-hmm. then second one on Epic Store and Uplay.
Yeah.
So it seems like, okay, who are guys like, hey, fuck Epic Store, yeah. Look, we're buying it on Uplay.
Exactly, yep.
Which, to some people, which means that just to some people, the Epic Store is worse than Uplay. I don't know how the hell that happened, because I thought nothing was worse than Uplay.
Well, the thing with Uplay, as you know, you can link those games into Steam. So you can still add them in, and I think that's why a lot of them did it. So that way they could still have it attached to the Steam launcher, and they could still launch the game from Steam, as opposed with the Epic, you can't do that. You need to use the launcher.
So, by the way, guys, I just confirmed Fortnite is free on the Epic Store sale.
Nice.
Wait a minute. Carlos trying to pull a fast one on us, man. Yeah, okay, so there's that. Speaking about the Epic, they're going to be sponsoring the PC game show at E3. Brian, you actually...
You mean they're going to buy the PC gaming show?
Baduyah!
You know, yeah, I mean, you would not be incorrect, you know? Brian, isn't this your favorite conference of E3? And I'm not even just saying that as a joke.
It is, because it just it's less bullshit, less fake trailers. So yeah, I'm all for less fake trailers. I'm just wondering what happened to AMD, or is it going back to an Epic and AMD thing? Because AMD has sponsored the last couple ones.
I have no idea.
Okay. Okay. Cool. They have more sponsors, so maybe they can get more guys on stage. I can't wait for them to talk about having games that are exclusive to the Epic Store. And then have like the Steam ratings just get bombed to shit. Like, wow. I don't understand how they don't see that people don't like this as an idea.
They don't care.
They don't care, man.
It's money, man. They don't give a shit.
Let's see. By the way, shout out to Phantom Vashes. He's helping us fill out the show tonight. Okay, check this out. Ubisoft confirmed that they're going to be launching 3 unannounced AAA games before the end of the fiscal year. They already announced Breakpoint, so what else could they have before now in March 31st of next year?
Another Assassin's Creed! Woo!
Yeah. No, that's on hiatus. The Watch Dogs and that other game that they're working
well,
on.
Well, actually, we could talk about this. The thing with Splinter Cell.
Rumor?
Yeah. Manny, how'd that go down exactly? You remember?
Oh, yeah. What it was just like, there was a guy that was like took a photo with somebody. He's like, yeah, you know, here I am, with blah blah blah, we're gonna be doing Splinter Cell, blah blah blah, and some other games. And everyone was like, "Whoa, blah, blah, you said Splinter Cell?" And then all of a sudden, Ubisoft goes, "No! He was kidding. He's kidding."
Yeah, when Ubisoft said that, people were like, "Yeah, sure, he was." Nobody believes him.
I was gonna make a joke at the time where I was like, "Man, Ubisoft just doesn't. They just are like a freaking leaky boat. They're constantly leaking information about internally from their own people about these new games. Like, remember the Assassin's Creed game that got leaked by some guy taking a photo on the train?
Man, I gotta correct you. Not Assassin's Creed game. Assassin's Creed games.
The Assassin's Creed games.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. One of them was on a train. Another one was on a plane. Another one was somewhere else. It's like every vehicle that humans could use." Well, the Assassin's Creed game has been leaked on, you know?
The train one wasn't his fault. I suppose the guy was over his shoulder. But the plane one was definitely his fault. He was telling the guy next to him all this shit.
Hey, yo, check this out.
Yeah, because the guy asked, he's like, oh, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I work on this game. And I did it. And he just said he volunteered all his information. And then that guy went online and just spewed it all.
Yeah, but he didn't know my man worked for like a gaming site or something. Imagine
no, that. He didn't know the guy was really into gaming. So the guy
by the
said,
way,
hey.
during our first E3, that kind of happened to me and Manny on the plane to E3, man. We were sitting next to a guy, Microsoft employee, and he was showing us some of the stuff, you know?
Yeah, he was showing us some of the stuff.
This is interesting.
But he was kind of not like a lawyer, but he was like some other department at Microsoft.
Yeah, he wasn't like a game guy, but he was going to E3, you know, because he needed to be there. But yeah, that stuff gets leaked. So I believe this. I need the Splinter Cell, man, because we don't have Metal Gear anymore. So we got to fill the void, you know?
Yeah. How are we going to fill that void?
Yeah. Like, don't get me wrong. Hitman is a great stealth franchise, but it's not an action stealth franchise, you know, like Metal Gear and Splinter Cell, You know,
it's a little bit more methodical than Metal Gear.
Shit, Chris and all day we were trying to save Sam Fisher. Was it 2 days ago? And we just rage quit that shit. Fuck that.
Oh man, no, that stealth was brutal. Splinter Cell was built for stealth, and then Sam Fisher tells you literally, "Don't kill anyone, don't get seen." I'm like, motherfucker, that's your game.
Yeah. Breaking into a base.
If you're gonna play my game, if you're gonna save me, yeah, you're gonna play it my way.
Run a gun, man.
Yeah, Glorious War says that Jason Schreier said there's no new Splinter Cell happening soon. I'm not gonna say nothing, but I've heard otherwise. I'll leave it at that. You know, I'm just gonna leave it at that.
Is Breakpoint the Ghost Recon game?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but Ghost Recon is already announced, so these are like three unannounced ones.
Oh,
so
okay, gotcha.
Maybe one of them's gonna be Watch Dogs 3.
I think a For Honor. I could see them coming out with something with For Honor.
I could see that.
I mean, that game did pretty well for them. I mean, yeah. Why wouldn't they want to throw out For Honor 2 or For Honor again?
For Honor 2 TOO, you know?
Yeah.
Apparently Division 2 sold worse than the first game, right? And people are like, oh, that's it, blah, blah, blah. But I'm like, remember Ubisoft's track record here. The games don't sell well initially, then they blow up later. So
yeah, like
Rainbow Six Siege, For Honor, Wildlands, the first Division. So come on, guys, they have a track record here.
Ubisoft plays the long game. So I mean, you know, Division 2 is not up to par right now. It probably might be eventually.
I also think a lot of people are just waiting for all the goodies to launch. You know, they're waiting for the raid. They're waiting for all the other DLC, and then they'll just get like the Game of the Year edition.
Yeah, I have a feeling that game's going to make a comeback, just like every other Ubisoft game. You know,
don't call it a comeback.
Yes. Here's an interesting one. I didn't do any research on this, so I'm sorry. Square Enix is shutting down Studio Istolia. I don't know what studio that is.
Oh, let's find out about Studio Istolia a little bit.
Yeah, and what else? While we're doing that, Adam, here's some news for you.
Oh.
Apparently, you know, Yuke's, right?
We talked about this.
Okay, they're confirmed to be working on another wrestling game to compete with WWE.
Well, so they're competing with themselves.
That's what she said. The rep came out and she did the interview, and she said that they don't have any competition, so they're going to create an internal studio just to create a different type of IP. So they're going to create their own competition. And I was like, all right, well, that's smart, because I'm sure they have people on that team that's like, hey, I would like to work on this. Yeah, me too. I think we could pull it off. All right, you guys go to that corner and start working on it, and then we'll just keep doing what we're doing. But the sad part of this is we thought they were already doing this shit. For the longest, they kept saying that they got this new engine. They got this whole new thing in the works. It was all bullshit. It was all bullshit. They weren't working on anything.
Damn.
So. Yeah. Oh, that's right. We talked about it on WrestleCast yesterday.
Okay, I was about to say, like, we didn't talk about it.
Yeah, that's right. It was yesterday we talked about it. Yeah.
Yeah. That you did it on your the moonlighting podcast. Yeah.
Yo, that shit was late too. It was like 2 in the morning. Fuck.
Yeah. Manny. Anyway, did you find out about that studio?
They were working on an RPG project called Prelude Rune.
Sounds fake.
The game Prelude Rune was actually canceled. Canceled.
Yeah, Project Prelude Rune has been officially shut down. I'm reading this from Game Industry Biz. Mm-hmm.
It's run by a famous game creator, but apparently they're just kind of cutting the fat on this game. My guess is the game kind of ran into some sort of thing. I mean, the artwork is very nice for it. They show you like a couple of really nice looking watercolory paintings of some elves and dragons and shit.
Yeah, it's Hideo Baba. He worked on the Tales of series.
So. Yeah, so it's his studio. It was his studio that was funded by him.
I think I remember talking about this when it happened. I don't know.
It's unfortunate that, you know, that you're losing another studio, but I feel like maybe what happened was just like, you know, whatever, they probably reviewed the project and are just like, this ain't working, bud.
Yeah.
Especially with like the big, like you look at the big games that kind of got released by Square Enix, man, like friggin' the last Final Fantasy game, the big huge Kingdom Hearts game that took them so long to make, you know? So, I mean, I'm sure they're trying to, you know, trimming the fat and kind of going with surefire hits right now. So whatever this company was making was probably costing too much. They just said, all right, we'll just drop it.
Yeah. All right. Next up here, this is the rumor right now, so just take it with a grain of salt. Apparently, Anthem has only sold 3.7 million units worldwide. And remember when EA was like, oh, we're going to sell 6 million in 6 weeks. Guess that didn't happen, did it? You know,
it's fun. It's so interesting when these companies make these sorts of like projections, like especially, and they're not even reading the tea leaves of the what's going on, you know, in the interest space, where like people are just like, I don't know about this game.
You know? No, you're gonna like it. You're gonna like it, man.
You're gonna love it.
The greatest game ever.
Yeah, they're pulling a Michael Eisner. You gotta love it. It's the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, right.
And I mean, how many weeks did we see it in the top MPDs? I know we saw it for
months.
One,
you mean the first month? Yeah, obviously
that was it.
I think so. I don't remember if it was there. It must. I think it was at least for the second month. But
yeah, I just remember always seeing them top of somewhere in the top 10. So we were like, oh well, people are buying it. They may not like it after they buy it, but they're buying it.
But I think the other thing about it is that buying it and having it in the top, you know, whatever, in a few weeks doesn't actually mean it means it made money, but it didn't mean it actually paid for itself. I don't know how much Anthem cost to make. I'm sure it was incredibly expensive, you know?
Yeah.
So like, it's a question of whether it, you know, yes, it's making money and whether it actually paid for itself.
Man, GZDR says Days Gone, which is selling very well, is going to outsell it on a single platform. That'd be crazy, man.
No, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, lackluster sort of, you know, reviews on that sort of game. But I mean, it was only like an even sort of keel, you know, it was either people hated it or liked it kind of a deal. So I think it, you know, hopefully that one paid for itself as well.
Yeah, Jossie agrees.
Yep, she agrees.
Sketch says, I think the reason it did not sell was because you could have the Origin premiere and try it out without buying it. Is that true? That's interesting. I had no idea.
I don't think you could play the whole thing, though, with Origin.
No, I don't think so. Yeah. GZR asked whatever happened.
Oh, I think what he's saying is that people were able to try it early and realize that it wasn't worth buying.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
Yeah. Yeah. At that point, why would they even want to try it?
Under the whole demo theory, which is why a lot of these publishers stopped making fucking demos, because they were blaming that Sketch for
says, he says, yes, you can. He has Premiere, so you can play the whole game, apparently.
Yeah, no, if you have it, but I thought he was talking about early access, because remember, they had early access and they couldn't play the whole thing. So then let's say you played it and then you can determine if you wanted to buy it or do whatever. And a lot of people probably said no, they didn't want it.
Yeah, but no, yeah, he says he could play the full game.
Yeah, now, yeah.
Yeah. Sketch wants to know whatever happened to Metro. I don't know. It's a single player game, man. You know how it is.
Well, it sold well. I remember, because there was this whole thing about how it's going to be exclusive to the Epic Store.
Yeah, that's right. I almost forgot about that.
Sale there too.
And then it was like, oh, well, we'll see how it sells because it's not going to be on Steam anymore. And then apparently, like, it was the fastest selling Metro or something in the franchise. I don't remember, but maybe Brian knows. Did you play it, man?
No.
And aren't you the big Metro guy, man?
Like, how dare you ask a question?
I either play it on consoles or I play it on Epic Store, and it's like, I'd rather not. So I was like, nah, I'll wait.
Damn.
And yes, Carlos was right. It sold, it's like fastest selling Metro game, and it outsold Metro Last Light, which is not surprising because, again, to anyone that's not been following the Metro games, did you guys know that Metro Exodus was the third game in the series?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. I have the previous two. Yes.
But I'll be
it's
honest.
It's also based off of a book, right? Isn't it the story?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
And also, have you ever seen the other two Metro games at E3 before?
No.
I thought we saw the Redux. Then when they did the Redux, I remember they made a big deal because they changed the mechanics. They used the mechanics from 2.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
One, and they... So it was like, yeah, we're doing this Redux, and it's not just a repackaging. We're actually changing the mechanics. We're putting what people like from 2 into 1 and that whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, so I think that the whole like E3 well, thing you know? Had like a big push because anything that's on E3 tends to sell quite well. So, yeah.
Honestly, I think like for the Metro series, I think a lot of people bought the game just to benchmark their computers.
Oh, shit.
That was like one of the big franchises that would always like
oh, yeah.
Get over to Crysis with that. It's like let's benchmark our PC. Let's see how it runs Last Light.
Oh yeah, Last Light is like a thing to run, you know? It's quite intensive.
Yeah. Yo, by the way, can I ask a random question?
Yes, you can, because we gotta fill up time.
Well, I heard someone I didn't pay more attention other than like just skim through a tweet, but someone talked about Cyberpunk. Did something happen with Cyberpunk?
I have no idea.
There's no release date. A lot of people think that it's gonna get bumped to the next gen consoles.
Oh, that's yeah. I'm sure that shit is.
Well, Cyberpunk, oh hell yeah, that shit's not coming out this generation. Or if it is, it's gonna be one of those cross games, you know.
Yeah, it's gonna be like it's gonna have one foot in the last gen and the other foot in the next gen. Mm.
Does anybody know if it's gonna be shown at E3?
Yes, it is. Actually, yeah. Yes, it is. A couple of our you know media buddies had actually said that they were approved to see Cyberpunk again. So yeah.
Oh, behind closed doors, like
yeah, behind closed doors, like last time. I'm gonna see if I can get on the line. I'll be there.
Do it, man.
I'll see if I get online, but I ain't got no clout because I'm just there as a you know employee or whatever. So
wait a minute, you going to E3, man?
Oh yeah, I'm the only one apparently. Yeah. So I'm gonna have to hook up with the guys at with the folks at the coalition and say hello to all the cats.
There you go, man. You still got family out there, man.
I still got family out there.
Yo, man, I thought I was gonna have family in NYC.
Yo, man, I'll be there too. I'm leaving on Monday. I'm leaving that Monday. I'm coming in on Monday and then leaving on Friday.
Nice.
So, yeah, I'll be there. You can hook up with the cats and the dogs and the rat and the snake.
Oh, damn. Oh.
The rat saved the MCU, man.
No. The rat, not the rat.
Yeah, remember, he's going to be among gaming journalists. So. Don't worry, Brian. I got that rats. Joke.
Oh, man.
Crazy.
I don't know if Tony gets the reference there, but... The snake, Tony?
The snakes? Oh, yeah, no, there's snakes,
oh,
too.
Oh, there's, yeah.
No, that snake.
Oh, God.
That snake.
Wait.
Yeah. Yeah, I know who he's talking about. We do not speak of such things. Anyway, Brett, are you still playing Anthem, man, or are you done with it?
Oh, I'm sucked back into Divinity again.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's your game right now, dude. Divinity?
Divinity.
Divinity 2 is the brand. Back me up on this. It's the shit.
I've not played it, but I played the first one, and the first one's the shit. So, by transitive properties, the second one must be the shit, too.
Brett, I played like 2-ish hours of Divinity 2, and it was great.
Nice.
So, if Brett, I can back you up in any ways, I can do a 2 hours worth of backing you up.
There you go. There you go.
So you can confirm that it is not shit, and it is, in fact, the shit.
It is the shit.
I mean, the story, man, it is, and I'm sorry you're not going to like this, you may like this, Brian. It is significantly better than the first Divinity. And I like the first Divinity, but like the story in Divinity 1 is crap.
Yeah, there's fighting
Brian words. Says, Brian, to speak for Brian, he says, them sounds like fighting words.
No, you want to know what sounds like fighting words to Tony? This game is what Dragon Age wanted to be, but failed.
Wait, what did you just say? Wait, what was that?
Excuse me?
I think you said something.
Dragon's Age.
Ah,
yeah, there you go.
Much better.
It's interesting. All right, where are we right now? Okay. Some fun stuff. 10 more games announced for the Sega Genesis Mini.
Whoa.
And one of them is actually very cool. Mega Man The Wily Wars. This was a game that was originally brought out exclusively for the Sega Channel. Brett, I know you remember the Sega Channel very well. So,
maybe a little bit.
Yeah. So, yeah, now everybody gets to play. Even though, Wily Wars is, like, the concept is cool, like a 16-bit version of the first three Mega Man games, but the controls are off to me. Like, he moves a little sluggish, but the graphics look really good. The music's really nice and everything. So, yeah, let me run them down. So, we got Mega Man The Wily Wars, Street Fighter II Champion Edition. Very good game. Ghouls and Ghosts, Alex Kidd in the Enchanted Castle, Beyond Oasis. Nice. Very nice. Golden Axe. I don't know how that was announced the first time around.
Yeah.
You know, Phantasy Star 4. Sonic the Hedgehog Spinball. I like that game. Everybody hates it. I like it. Vector Man. Very cool. And Wonder Boy and Monster World. So,
yeah. So you get to play it again, but not in not all shiny.
This is cool. Okay, yeah. So I think that's all 40 games right now. Pretty good stuff. I think it's like $80 for this thing total. I already pre-ordered mine, Spin.
To be honest, I'm like, that totally kills off that Nintendo one, man, because like, how many games are on there?
40.
Now, yeah, and they're using, you know, a company that actually makes a really good version of it, so.
Yeah, man. See? Look at these games, man. You know, Sonic the Hedgehog, Ego the Dolphin, Castlevania Bloodlines, that's fucking cool. Space Harrier, Shining Force, Puyo Puyo, I'm just going to call it what it is, come on now. Toe Jam and Earl, Comic Zone, Altered Beast. Gunstar Heroes, you already know. Earthworm Jim, Sonic 2, Castle of Illusion, Mickey Mouse, World of Illusion with Mickey Mouse, Contra Hardcore. I never even played this game, Contra Hardcore.
Contra Hardcore. I love that game.
That's a good one.
That's fucking awesome.
It's a crazy one. It's got like all kinds of weird like characters. There's like a werewolf in it. Like
it has a little robot. Yeah.
A robot.
Yeah. What is this? Thunder Force 3, very awesome. Super Fantasy Zone, Shinobi 3, Streets of Rage 2. And Landstalker, they got some good games on this shit, man.
I mean, Streets of Rage 1, man, that's my jam.
Yeah,
bro.
No, I see, I'm all about 2, you know. Oh man, good stuff. So I'm definitely checking out. Anybody else here interested in getting this?
Oh yeah, I'm getting it. Absolutely. I would love them to make a classic. You know how they used to have the rivalry back in the day in the commercials?
Yeah.
Like, dude, the Genesis does what Nintendo don't, but with the minis?
Yes.
Like, totally do that, man. That would be fantastic.
That'd be amazing.
Somebody should make that. I mean, because I know Sega's not going to do that. They're like partners now. So it's like...
Oh, shit.
It's awesome. Sketch says he'd rather play first-person games on PC, leave my console gimme for exclusives on PS4. All right, you know, yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah, if you're into the whole mouse and keyboard thing, especially for first-person shooters, then yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense. All right, and the last story here. This, again, one of these things like, hey, how come no one's talking about this? All right, so Fortnite players can no longer merge their accounts. Remember that big deal over the last summer?
Oh!
They can't do it anymore. They disabled the feature. And no one said nothing.
Yeah, no.
Wait, what? even with the Switch version?
Yeah, if you have to only play, you have to select the version and stick with it. You can't do crossplay anymore. Like cross account things anymore. You can still play with each other, I believe, but you can't like
cross progression.
Yeah, cross progression. Is that what it is, Carlos? You can't do that anymore.
Okay.
Yeah. So what happened? I thought that was the thing, man.
That was one of the big things, and then there was the other one being able to play other players. And if you remember, on Switch they closed down the fact you can play with PlayStation, Xbox, and PC. Remember?
Yeah, they could only play with mobile in the game.
They only go with mobile games now. You play in the kiddie pool now.
Yeah. Oh man, I just realized. Okay. Full disclosure, the only time my Switch gets used nowadays is when my nephew comes over because he loves Fortnite, right? I just realized he's getting his ass beat by mobile gamers. Oh, man. That's disgraceful.
Mobile gamers and other Switch players.
It's interesting, man.
Yeah, that's how it goes, man.
Oh, yeah. By the way, speaking about Fortnite, they have a John Wick skin now.
Yeah, can you take that John Wick skin and go make it go against the Thanos skin?
I thought you were going to say, can you put that John Wick skin and put it in a better game? Yeah. Also, I just remember this. Apex Legends, people are mad at the game. Like, oh, there's no more content. I thought Apex Legends was the shit. What happened?
Oh, so it sounds like, so it's fizzled out, huh?
Yeah. Something to do with Battle Pass. I don't know.
No, Battle Pass is the only content they have. They haven't released anything else. Like... Obsidian doesn't have the resources to support that game. Not like Epic is throwing everything at Fortnite. They came out with the Avengers add-on for the movie. So they released like character weapons into the game, plus Thanos was in it. And then they just released, like this week, the season 9. So, I mean, think about that. They're up to season 9 of content for Fortnite.
So, what is it? It's like every few months, so I think it's like
every few months you get a season. Yeah. And then in between, they'll have DLC updates and guns and skins and all this shit. And they do seasonal themes too. So, they'll do a Halloween thing, they'll do a Christmas thing, they'll do Easter, whatever. They'll just do themes for everything. So, they're constantly pumping out content. Apex got nothing. They got the battle pass. That's it.
Wow. I'm reading the story from Forbes. And yeah, you know who was even dragging them under the bus for not releasing content? I am not making this up, people. And this is an official Twitter account with the blue check mark and everything. KFC Gaming. KFC Gaming, a fucking chicken place, was making fun of Apex Legends.
I hear that that's actually not really KFC at all.
No, it is. Is KFC actually sponsors you know, esports and stuff, and that's their division that, you know, supports it. Well, I want to, man, and I said this on Twitter. I'm like, are we gonna get Church's Chicken Gaming next? Like,
Church's and Crown Chicken. There, yeah, you go.
But yeah, Apex Legends. Yeah, this game came out hot out of the fire, and no one cares right now. Well, hilarious. I guess all those I'm gonna say it. I don't care if I get in trouble. I guess all those influencers, they paid off. You know, don't care anymore. You know,
Man, that's a. But
they cared when they were getting paid, man.
Yeah, they care when they were getting paid. You know,
I think, because to be honest, like, there's all this additional stuff that has to go with it, and then obviously they're not supporting, you know, the game like they should. Like, in other words, like, they should be giving out more things to try to get people to come back. I feel like Apex Legends in general is just a portion of a game, you know, it was a portion like their Titanfall game that just kind of is split off. That they said
they don't have the team to produce that type of content. That's what they had released out about it. They were like, oh, mm-hmm. We can't pull what Fortnite's doing. I mean, those guys are working around the clock. Yeah, they have a massive suit. They just don't have the resources to provide those type of services. Like, that this was a small team that went about its business to make this type of game.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. By the way, GZDR says Bojangles esports team.
Bojangles.
Wait, there's a chicken place called Bojangles? Where is this?
Yeah, I don't think it's up here in the East Coast.
Yeah.
Never heard of Bojangles?
No,
hey.
Never heard of
Bojangles.
No.
It's got a bomb ass dirty rice.
Dude, dirty rice.
I love Bojangles. It's like a Southern thing.
That's hilarious. Yeah, Bojangles. But yeah, why not? If you have KFC Gaming, you know.
Yeah, Bojangles Gaming.
Yeah, Fortnite has better updates. Yeah, they update their shit all the time.
Constantly.
Yeah.
Does that mean that the Candyman constantly plays in their store or something?
That one went over my head.
Bojangles made the song Mr. Candyman. The Candyman can. He sang that song.
Oh, Bojangles. Oh, Bojangle. Okay.
Bojangles. He's an old tap dancer / singer.
Yeah.
You know.
I just made that connection. Yeah, not Bojangles, Bojangles.
Yeah, as you joke about it, somebody at Epic is adding him into the game.
Yeah, the kids know Bojangles.
They won't care. They'll know him now.
Yeah, right.
As a Fortnite.
Who can make the sunrise?
Oh, what was it? One of the guys from the Rat Pack. He wanted to play that character.
Sammy Davis Jr.
Sammy Davis.
He also refused to sing that song, Mr. Bojangles, because Bojangles, the actor and / dancer / singer, died incredibly poor. And he felt that the song was cursed. Funny thing that happened is that essentially after Sammy Davis Jr. died, he essentially died poor. They tore apart his the government tore apart his estate and everything.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's crazy. All right, man. What have we been playing lately? Let's start with Adam, because you always have the most. What have you been playing lately?
I was playing Sniper Elite 2 Remastered on Switch when I did that review, so I played a lot of that.
Oh, yeah. Tell us about the game, man.
Yeah, it's a cool game. I mean, the fact that they were able to... Are you familiar with the Sniper Elite series?
Yeah, I know. They got snipers. That's all I know.
It's a strategic, you know, shooter. Tactical shooter, run around.
What happened to it?
I said they're also elite.
Yeah, they're also elite. Is that the one where like the bullet is in like X-ray mode when you like shoot someone?
You do. It has the bullet tracking, bullet shots, and then when it penetrates, you could see in X-ray mode what kind of damage you inflicted. You know, so yeah, it's great for the fact that it's on the Switch. It runs well, and it also has co-op, local and online, for the full campaign or with just multiplayer aspects. They have like a horde mode, and they have a few other missions. You have one, assassinate the Fuhrer, where you get to kill Hitler. You know, so you get
I remember that.
You know, and it's fun because it takes that element out from Call of Duty, when every Call of Duty pretty much has one main mission where you play as a sniper, you know, where you have to stick around. There was one with Pierce and stuff in the Modern Warfare series. Well, this game is all about that. Yeah, you could have some real conflict and interactions, bring out the Tommy gun and do the whole cover-based shooter, but the game is really designed for you to be stealthy. You know, like one of the things in your inventory is a rock, so that way you can throw and lure enemies to another area so that way you can get past them and try to get to the high ground. And then just if you're at a distance, a good enough distance, and you snipe, they won't know where it's coming from, you know. But if they know where it's coming from, then it turns into a whole other action game. But yeah, no, it's fun. I had no real issues with it. I mean, I'm not going to compare it because it launched also on the PS4 and Xbox PC. And on their website, they were advertising how they bumped it up to 4K textures and this and stuff. I wasn't expecting to see any of that on the Switch, so I didn't even bother bringing that up. For me, it was all about the gameplay, because I was like, if someone picks this up on the Switch, that's what they're picking it up for, the mobility to play this type of game on the go. Because right now, they don't have any competition when it comes to that. It is an older title, though. This is from a game that came out back in like 2013. So I wonder why they did that, because it's not their most popular. They have some other ones that are much better, especially their zombie series. But they incorporated some of the characters from that one, I think 3 and 4, in the multiplayer. So when you go to select characters, you can actually select some of the characters from those. So yeah, it was fun. It's fun if you're into that. If you're into sniping, if you're into being patient and setting tripwire and stuff like that to make sure you can protect your location and get in and out undetected, that type of situation. And it's fun. It's fun. So I gave it a good rating. Not great, but it's good. It's good.
What else?
I've been playing Trial Rising on Switch. That's okay. We did the review for the main console one, and then so I decided to play the Switch one, and the controls aren't there.
Wait, what's the name of this game?
The Trials Rising.
Oh, the bike game, right?
Yeah. The Ubisoft, one of their smaller titles that they release. You know, so I was like, whatever. Been doing that. Been playing a lot of Tetris 99 offline mode. They launched that so you could do marathon and stuff, keep it old school. And it's great because they have where you go against a PC, which sort of plays like you're doing the 99. And it's great just for strategizing and building up, because there is a lot of strategy. I don't know if you ever played it, but there's 4 different options that you can select when you start making your lines. So let's say if you want to do KOs, you're building your lines, and your lines are going to get sent over to whoever everyone else is attacking. And then, or you can select the attack, and it'll just send lines to whoever's attacking you at the time. Or you can just block. You know, so been doing a lot of that. Then when I'm not doing that, I was playing with Chris, and all day we went back to Ghost Recon Wildlands, and we were doing a lot of the missions for the DLC stuff. We finished the first one, the newest one that came out, with the dude that plays the Punisher, that whole thing that ties in to the sequel. And then we were going to do the Sam Fisher, and then we rage quit because that was bullshit. That was just fucking bullshit. I mean, we were, I don't know what, it took like almost an hour, and we just kept dying. I mean, it was simple shit. It was like, oh, he saw us. It's over. It's over. Like, what the fuck is the point of this? You know, it wasn't fun. It wasn't fun. That's it. That's what I've been playing.
Cool. All right. Brett, what about you?
Divinity?
No, that's just Divinity all day.
This is a good time to bring it up as any. Like, I kind of agree with what you said on Twitter the other day. Like, I am just not jazzed about any games coming out lately. Like, nothing's just really. I kind of got talked out of even playing Days Gone, so now I'm just kind of like, I don't know what to do.
So actually, but wait,
Brett, tomorrow. That's right. I forgot. Remember, we were supposed to be doing the Ghost Recon, the raid. Eight people. We need eight people.
Oh, Division 2.
Division, man.
Division 2, whatever the fuck I just said.
Ooh, all these people.
Oh, dude, I'm like level 16. I abandoned that game.
Oh, shit, really?
Yeah, because nobody played with me. Everybody was playing at different times, and everybody just moved on. And
yeah, remember, that was like the running joke. It's like when we would finish, Brett would come on, you know, because it was already late.
Hey, Brett, I'm with you, man. These guys decided to start playing the Division 2 right when I was decided to go to Korea.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you miss the boat on these games, they just end up becoming really good.
I don't know. They got the requirement.
It becomes kind of sad, like having a birthday party by yourself. You're like, what is this one? I'm going to do something else.
It's a great way of putting it.
Well, that was the other controversy. We didn't really go into it, but they had first said that you can matchmake in all their modes. This is what they said before the game launched. Oh, every mode is just going to have matchmaking. And then when they announced this, they backtracked and said, yeah, we apologize. That's not the case. You can't matchmake for the raid. You have to join a team. You have to be part of a team to do it. They don't, so there's no matchmaking. So then it changes things up then now, because now we have to find additional players that are max level and that can do this.
Yeah,
or so else we can't play.
That's right. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting. But Brett, yeah, by the way, I'm surprised you actually looked at my Twitter. I thought you didn't go on Twitter except for to like get like, you know, the room link. You know what I'm saying?
Every once in a while.
Yeah, but I'll get to my stupid stuff in a bit. But okay, anyway, again, because we got to fill out time here. This week was kind of boy. What is it about Divinity 2 that you love so much?
Honestly, it's the branching dialogue trees. It's the fact that you can make a stupid decision and stab somebody wrong in chapter one, and at the very end of the game, they'll be like, "Hey, we need the help of this person." You're like, "Oh, I totally murdered that person."
Oh,
and then I'm like, oh, I accidentally did it, but like, I made the choice to murder that person. Like, it's. I've been playing it through with playing a single player game, a game with my buddy Morgan, and a buddy game with my buddy Morgan and our buddy Tony. So I've kind of I'm rolling through the campaign for like the third time, and still shit is just going different. But, you know, the first time we rolled into the game, we got into this confrontation, we got into the gate. This time we just kind of like went to the left and didn't get to that confrontation. And video game logic would tell you, like, it'll be fine. And we come back later. Well, the confrontation had ended, and one of the motherfuckers was laying on the ground dead. We're like, oh, wow. It just kind of resolved itself. And we missed the boat. Funny thing was, that was the person who gave us the lead on how to escape prison. So now what do we do? I know there's, like, six other ways that we can get out of prison. So we're going to have to do one of those. So that's really cool.
That sounds insane.
Dude, it is. It's everything you want Dragon Age to be, where you feel like, hey, and even Dragon Age and Mass Effect, like everything that you, all the choices that you make, yes, are through dialogue. And some of them in Divinity are too, but other ones are just like, hey, don't touch that giant red ruby. And you're like, yeah, I'm going to touch that ruby. If I grab that ruby, how quickly can I run out of this bitch? Pretty sure I can throw fire behind me and just fucking escape. Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say that's interesting. So like the game, not only does the dialogue affect the game, but the actual like actions affect the game.
Yeah, there was one person where like one thing where Morgan was having dialogue with somebody and was convincing them to like let us in, like while they were like doing this ritual, and I just go fucking walking in and they're like, you! Like, they got really angry that I tried to just walk in while he was talking to the other person and distracting them, and it instigated a fight. So it's kind of like when you had to have that little while when we started playing D&D of like, no, those are video game rules. These are D&D rules. This kind of does the same thing to you. You're like, what the fuck am I supposed to do? Like, I don't know. Like, there's nowhere to go in this room. Like, well, you have ghost vision. Yeah, I know. It's like one of my 20 skills or something. Why? I don't know. Are you in a graveyard? Yeah. Oh. Okay. Yeah. There might be ghosts here that can help me cast on ghost vision. There's somebody standing there like, yeah, there's a hidden lever right over there. Fuck the sorcerer who murdered me. And you're like, oh, that totally makes sense. So it actually has a lot of good critical thinking stuff. So instead of being like, I don't know, I'm just looking around for something shiny, you actually have to sit there and be like, okay, well, where would this be? How would this work? So it's anybody who likes Dragon Age or Mass Effect, I really recommend playing it, or XCOM, because it's, you know, turn-based combat. So, totally recommend all of those things. Also, I cannot say how excited I am for Iceborne.
I think you no longer love Dragon Age now because you've dropped the S. Yeah,
By the way, can we talk about that, man? Because I don't know, man. Like, about Dragon Age 4, like, EA's talking about it a little bit more, but it's like, I think they're going to fuck it up, man.
Can you just fire them and hire the Divinity team?
Can you get rid of all those other guys and get the people who actually made the Dragon Age that we liked back?
I don't know. Probably worse done, man.
I mean, honestly, playing this game has just ruined Dragon Age for me.
Okay. And yes, it no longer
deserves the S. I don't care if it sounds right or not anymore.
That's good, man.
A game with a bunch of pretend fucking choices that I can roll in there with one of five separate classes and cast, you know, magic that does not interact with itself or the environment or anything. Just like, oh, look, it casts fire and does this much damage and everybody in a circle. Fucking cool. That is literally the most basic way you could do that. Is there oil on the ground? Can I create natural gas? Does it burn them? Does it cause them to flail around? Can I freeze them? Can I stop them? Can I shock them? Do I have any effective, like, no, I have five fucking skill trees with five different kinds of wizard that I can be with five fucking spells each, and I'm lucky when I can cross-class, like, they're fucking throwing me a bone. Fuck you, BioWare. I like being a wizard.
Damn. I want to quote that. Fuck you, BioWare. I like being a wizard. All right. Yeah.
That should be my anthem.
Yeah. Fuck you, BioWare. Your anthem.
Oh, I'm so glad you caught that.
Oh man, Brian, what you been playing, man?
A whole bunch of nothing. This week's just been nothing week for me.
That sounds sad.
I did, however, Platinum God of War 3 last month.
Holiday Express?
Oh, I heard of Platinum.
God of War 3, I heard.
Yeah, God of War 3 Platinum last month. That was quite fun. It was a lot easier than I remembered. Like, I went through, like, the challenges, like, so quick. Like, okay, what was happening is that after the throwdown, I actually I finished, like, the main game, and there's like seven or eight challenges. I done like the first three just on a whim. Just like, oh, like first time, no problems. And then I literally had a shower, came downstairs, and then played the last like four or five, and then just did them as I was getting dressed, like nothing. So yeah, God of War 3, a great platinum. I'm happy with that.
That's, if I remember right, that's the one where it's randomized for the QTEs, right? That if you die, you go back. It's never the same pattern.
Only if you're on lower difficulty. If you're on higher difficulty, then yeah, it's randomized. But it's the one where they made the QTEs.
The remastered one. Whichever one was remastered. Was that it? Was it three that they remastered?
They did all of them.
I just remember there was one that was a pain in the ass, and it was because they kept randomizing the QTEs.
Probably three.
Yeah, maybe that
was. Yeah, that sounded like three. Yeah, great game. I now own it. It's now the second remaster I own the Platinum 2. Sorry, the second remaster I have the original and the remastered Platinum 2.
What's the first
one? The other one. Burnout, Tony. You know.
Yes, that's true.
You know how it is. And yeah, playing a whole bunch of nothing. Nothing really on the timeline to get into. I was tempted to get back into Smash, but then I remembered why I stopped playing Smash.
Did you unlock everyone?
No, I get smashed. I don't know how the game works. Like, I don't understand the ideas of how... I don't understand how the game flows. Like, usually with fighting games, there's a certain flow. Like, you block some moves, high, low, medium, that type of stuff. In Smash, I don't know.
It's the two-button system. It's really simple.
It's all about, like, smashing your opponent out of the level as many times as possible. It's
timing and space.
Yeah. It's a lot of time blocking using your shield.
Yeah, most fighting games are based around kind of like a tempo. Brawl games are about timing and space. I would say, weirdly enough, the closest I've come to Smash games is probably like Souls type combat. Like there's only four different moves, but really being 3 feet away and being 3 feet 2 inches away makes all the fucking difference in the world.
Yeah, maybe so maybe that'll help you, Brian. I don't know.
I put a lot of time in that. Unlocked everybody. That one.
It's really about it's not for everybody. It really isn't.
Yep, definitely not for me.
I didn't pick up the DLC though. I didn't see the point of Joker and
Tony, you know what you gotta get. You gotta get those amiibos. You gotta get Ryu and Ken.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, I'm good.
I'd still be Tony even with those.
Yeah, I don't want those, you know that. Fuck I need an amiibo for.
No, as long as you admit that it takes some skill.
I'm not going to admit that. Actually, I will. I will.
Either admit that it takes some skill or you fight me in Smash Brothers. Those are your two options.
Yeah, but you're gonna beat me.
I'll fight you in real life. Then
I'll fight you in real life. You know, fuck that.
You should be able to beat me, right?
What, in Smash Brothers?
Yeah.
No, because you've been playing for like 20 years. Of course, you're gonna beat me. I never played that shit. I played that thing for like 10 minutes.
That's what he's trying to say. That if it takes no skill, then you should be able to just button mash and win.
No, I'll give you that, Brett. It takes skill. Different skills, obviously, but it takes skill. You know. So there you go.
Cool.
I'll give you that.
He's like, fight me.
Dude, Cuphead is hard. It only has a couple of buttons.
Yeah, exactly. I never said it was, you know, easy. I'm just saying it's not a real fighting game. I'm saying it's a brawler. That's what I've been saying. It ain't like Street Fighter or Virtua Fighter or anything.
As long as you say it requires some amount of skill or there's a skill separation there, I'll take it. That's right. Cool.
Speaking of trying to get people to play games, Brett.
Yo.
Cuphead. Any updates?
What's up, motherfucker?
Dude, I'm so angry all the time right now.
Oh, we don't want that, you know. Yeah, and Cuphead is going to just amplify that.
Just with Banner Hulk, man.
It has not been a good time. There's some family health issues that I've been dealing with. So we're not really trying to crank up the cortisol levels right now.
Yeah, you don't need that.
I raised it a few times on the Switch version. Just fucking.
Oh, Cuphead will get you, man.
Yeah, man.
That's the only game I ever played in my whole life where I felt like utterly defeated. Like, I'm like, oh, my God, I can't fucking do this. Eventually, I came back and beat the game. But still, like, I never had a game make me feel like that before on the final boss.
Well, in this age.
You know, back in the day, that was normal. You know, like in the modern age. No, but even back then, I was still like, I could do this, even though I probably could not, you know.
Cuphead is one of those games. I don't know, maybe one of those games. But, like, it's just one of those few games where you can play it for, like, 5 hours straight on the same level. And die every fucking time, and then feel defeated, go to sleep, pick up the game the next day, and beat on your first try.
Yeah. There's a scientific reason for that, by the way, and it works for a lot of things. Like, basically, your brain kind of works through it at night, and then you come back, and that's what happened with me with Bloodborne, the fucking cleric beast, right? He whipped my fucking ass for like an hour, and it was on stream. I think we still have it up there, right? He beat the shit out of me. I came back the next day, bam, beat him like nothing, you know? It was insane, you know? Oh, the reason I was dying so much is because I didn't know how to heal. Because this is my first Souls game ever. And people in the stream are like, heal. I'm like, heal? What the fuck are you talking about? You know, because I had my dodging down. I had all that shit down. But I'm like, healing? I don't know. So then when I came back, I'm like, Tony, heal. So I healed and I won. Crazy. What happened, Brian?
You want to hear like a funny story that just happened like right now?
Oh, yes, I do.
Okay, so I was browsing the Epic Store just to see what games they have on sale. And I spotted this one game called Spellbreak, and it looks like a really great game. Like, it's like cel-shaded, you play as like a wizard, have like spells and all sorts. It's like, okay, this looks like the shit. You know, sign me up. And then I see those cursed words, Tony.
Uh-oh.
Battle Royale. And then my first thought was, okay, I'm done.
Battle Royale.
It looks really nice as well. I like looking in the chat, and then you're like, okay, let's make it as a real game, not like a half game.
Son. All right, who are Carlos, man?
My dog ate it.
Oh, shit. Damn, son. Like, nobody's playing games.
Give you a rattled off a shitload that I'm playing.
Yeah, well, Adam's covering all of us right now. You know,
who's he covering? One for everybody here.
he's covering you and me and Brad.
He ain't covering me. I ain't answering yet.
I'm playing games. Yeah. Right. I'm just playing a lot of one game.
I mean, I'm playing chess. Does that count?
Nah, that shit don't count. This is digital, you know.
Wait, you want to go against those fools in Union Square? I forgot. Yeah.
That's right. No, yeah. Brett, by the way, you playing one game a lot does count, so don't worry about it. I was mainly referring to Brian.
I'm getting a full-on casual gamer schedule in, all right? I'm like 2 nights a week, 3 hours a session, all right? I'm going this 30-year-old hardcore, all right?
Oh, man. Yeah, Carlos, so you getting ready for those guys in the park?
Yeah, I'm going to get destroyed. I just...
You don't know that?
No, I know that. They do that all fucking... That's all they do.
You're kicking people's asses.
There's homeless people who live with a chessboard. I've seen some videos of some of them. Like, some of them have squirrels that are their friends.
Damn. By the way, because I don't know if you told Brett the story, and I don't know if the fans heard it. What is one of your goals when you get to New York? With chess.
Oh, is go to Washington Square Park in New York. And play those chess hustlers. They charge you like $5 per game. And yeah, I want to play them. But my friend told me, he's like, yo, if for some reason, because he doesn't have that much faith in me, he's like, if for some reason you do win, dip. Because those motherfuckers will try to get fucking rematch.
They'll double up on you. They'll double up. They'll be like, all right, let's put it for 10 and 20.
Yep. But it's something like that I've always wanted to experience. Just I'm a chess fan. I'm not that good at it, but it'd be fun. $5
The best around.
Man, dude, $5 seems like a really low amount to shark somebody for.
Well, I mean,
there's different tables.
You shark like 100 guys in a day, you know, that's good money.
Washington Square Park is a busy fucking park. It's right in the middle of downtown in the village area. Mm-hmm. It's surrounded by NYU. So you got all these kids.
You have those hotshot kids that come. Yeah. Like, yeah, man, I'm a best of chess. And then they get themselves owned by that dude in the park.
Those guys make a lot of money, man.
Yeah, there's a lot of traffic in that park.
Yeah, exactly.
Adam, you coming?
When is this? When are you doing it?
June.
I don't know. I know I'm coming in a few months after that, but I don't know. I'll see. I mean,
around your birthday and everything.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out. We're trying to see what's going on with that and then with this other house that we might be getting. So,
oh, shit. All right, Mr. Chris.
Oh, well, I just beat Ocarina of Time. I finally finished it. And other than that, I've just been playing missions with Adam and all day in Wildlands. Just been enjoying that. I took a break from Sekiro because I was getting fucking frustrated. I'm like right at the last guy, and I could get him down. I could beat the first phase and the second phase easy. And then the third phase, he has a gun, and he has a giant spear, and he has lightning. I'm like, what the fuck am I supposed to do? So I cheesed him somewhat, but I need to really focus on beating him. So I was I'll take a break.
Yo, man, it's that final four, man.
Yeah, that guy is...
Yeah. By the way, this little segment right now, you know, with games we've been playing, it's not just exclusively for us. Glorious War, he wants to tell us what he's been playing lately, and we encourage you guys to tell us the same. He goes, he's been playing Dark Souls 3 and Bloodborne, and this is the most overrated shit I ever played in my life. Bloodborne? Really? Bloodborne's fucking amazing, dude.
Mm. Here's the thing. The one thing to remember about Bloodborne is that it's not Dark Souls.
No, it's not.
It doesn't. It just acts a lot different. It's more aggressive than a Dark Souls game.
Better than a Dark Souls game. I said it.
it's also a quality thing. Well, not even just Bloodborne, but Bloodborne in particular is really good. But a lot of the Dark Souls games, if you think of it as a sword, right? Like, you've been playing games where people like hand you this big fucking crazy jewel encrusted gold wrapped bastard sword, right? And you go and you swing it around, and it's rickety, and it rattles, and it bangs on things, and it's just a piece of shit. Dark Souls is very simple. All the Soulsborne games are very simple. It's like somebody handing you just a clean, plain, you know, really well-crafted sword. At first, you're going to be kind of like, ah, well, it seems very little here. But the more you experiment with it, the more you play with it, the more you dive down, you find that it keeps going, it keeps going, and it keeps going. No matter how many things you hit with that sword, it's a good fucking sword. So it's when I first entered Dark Souls, and I've said this before, like I was kind of, it felt very barren and slow and devoid of a lot of story or depth or anything like that. But trust me, there's depth there if you dig. But I know exactly what he's talking about. At first, you're just like, there's like four buttons, and it's just kind of run around and Bushido blade kind of slash things. But Tony's right. I don't know, Tony, did it click right away with you?
What, Bloodborne or Dark Souls?
Either.
Bloodborne, yeah. Once I defeated the cleric beast, I'm like, okay, this is how I got to play the game, right? And it clicked for me. Dark Souls, I liked it, but it's slow. Even though I know Dark Souls 3 is the fastest one, it's slow, and it doesn't reward aggression like Bloodborne does. I that's what I like about Bloodborne. Like my, because I'm an aggressive player, so my aggressiveness was always rewarded in that game, and I like that. And Dark Souls, you know, it's cool being defensive and all that, and it was nice to have a shield to protect myself with, because Bloodborne, I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen right now, but fuck it, let's go. You know, at least in Dark Souls, I had a shield that, you know, like, okay, I'm like, I could live through this, maybe. A little too slow for me, and I just like being aggressive, getting in there, fucking shit up, you know? But yeah, I would say Bloodborne clicked with me pretty fast. Dark Souls 3, I don't know about clicking, but I respected what it does, you know? I should add context. Glorious War is coming off of Sekiro, which he loved. I think he got the platinum, and he feels the other Souls games are not as good as that one.
Damn. Oh, I haven't played Sekiro, so I can't tell you. I know it's built on the back of the mechanics where it's timing and it's space. And I know
it's not really like Brett. You have to take the Dark Souls manual and throw it out.
Really?
Throw it out when you play Sekiro. Yeah, it's all about really parrying and timing and figuring out your opponent. And he has very limited things he can do. Like there's shinobi arts and all this stuff he can do, but you can only set one at a time. And there's a ninjutsu, and you have to keep changing them for the scenario, but he doesn't have like magic in the typical sense. Like he can't, like you have the prosthetic arm and you can do certain things, but it takes a while. There's pros and cons to things, but it's really all about parrying.
So that is spacing not an element the way that it was? Like in Dark Souls, like PvP is the thing that I'm thinking of the most. Like Dark Souls PvP reminds me of old school Bushido Blade.
Well, there's no PvP. It's a single player game. Yeah, there's no PvP. There's no jolly cooperation. There's no.
That's why I haven't played it yet. I'm a little sad about that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, think of you know, Sekiro like Tenchu, which is pretty much what it is.
It seems more fast paced, and I'll be honest, that the thing that I love most in this world of almost all gaming experiences was Dark Souls PvP. And it's because it reminded me, and I'm thinking of the Bushido Blade was the one hit kill game, right?
Yes.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, it reminded me a lot of Bushido Blade. Like, and Crystal says this, 90% of the time a Dark Souls PvP battle starts with two people ringing in about 6 feet away from each other and just circling each other for about 30, 45 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, lunging and rolling and trying to, you know, just size up their opponent. There's this great moment. It's expressed a lot in like anime and Japanese movies and shit like that with like a taiko drum. It's that moment where you hear the dunk dunk kind of thing where there's this real quiet hang in the moment air, and then somebody rolls and just starts going slash mad, and it becomes all about dodge, dodge, parry, dodge, and you catch two hits and then you drop and you're dead.
And also a thing in Sekiro is rolling is not as effective as it is in the Soulsborne games.
I've gathered that it's really about it's about parrying, and oh, by the way, it's about parrying.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, they tried to rebalance the game and a couple of patches to make people use the prosthetic arts. You really, for the most of the game, you don't need to use them. Like, you just rely on your sword and your timing, right? And they want people to use the prosthetic arts and go through it. But for most of them, I don't use. They're pointless.
Yeah,
man, all I know is I saw you stream the game, And I'm like, yeah, I'm not playing this shit. All that parrying, I hate parrying so much. That's why I can't stand Street Fighter 3. I'm like, what the fuck is this shit? You know? Like, I'm a dodger. I like dodging. I don't want to fucking, like, parry. Fuck that shit. You know?
The one thing that interested me about the game is the stealth element, where, like, you can sneak up on, you know, a lot of the things. I liked that portion of the game. The ninja part of it.
Yeah, the tension was very much that you didn't get into giant, drawn-out battles in Tenchu, really.
Tenchu had two parts where it's like, okay, you snuck up and then you assassinated the guy, and then it was about trying to get away without being seen, or if you've been seen, getting away, you know, effectively, you know, while the guys are trying to chase after you.
Yeah, there was no like running there and fucking vicious murder ninja everything. Mm-hmm. So it part of it reminds me of Tenchu, but the part that I loved about Tenchu, like, and I'm the weird guy here, I will be the first to admit, I love quiet, somber, contemplative games where you're like, you actually have to jump and sit on a rooftop and sit out there and like kind of plan, like, how am I going to do this? Where is this guy going to go? And you like kind of soak in the ambiance and the quiet. Well,
I mean, that game does have it, obviously, but they also have forced, boss battle-ish sections.
Oh no, that game looks balls to the wall. That game, they took the playbook from Ninja Gaiden on this game. It seems like it, basically, if you mix Souls and Ninja Gaiden together, it seems like this is what you would get.
No, that would be near. Or no, yeah. Nor, or whatever the fuck it was called.
You know what? Neo.
Neo, there we go.
Okay. I mean, plus it's hard, it tried.
Yeah.
That's another one I have. I still haven't played.
I'm not bothering with that shit.
I haven't even played Monster Hunter. When are we going to play that shit?
When Iceborne comes out, man.
Big update coming, man.
No, well, I mean, Adam, I'll jump on with you whenever you want. Right. Like, right, Iceborne doesn't come out till September.
Can we talk about Iceborne for a minute?
Sure.
No.
Okay.
Gosh, I'm just joking.
You're like, damn, I didn't know it was that
spoilers.
Easy.
Spoilers. Talk, man, talk.
I gotta really say, I gotta applaud Capcom for the, because we were all wondering, they're like, they keep giving us content. Eventually, we're gonna have to pay for some content. Like, we all realized that this was coming. And I gotta say, I think the way that they did it, like, where it's almost like a big ass game edition, instead of like sprinkling it out and spreading it up, like, you go to Game Pass, do this, all this other stuff. Like, nah, motherfucker, we'll give you a truckload of free shit, and then later you give us $30 for another truckload of free shit after we've shown you how much shit we're gonna give you.
It's the internet. But here's the thing. Like, if you think about it, like, it's an excuse for them to resell the game with some new packaging.
I'm totally fine with as much content bonus as
like a whole new thing, you know?
Yeah, like you're not only getting the original one if you're going to buy it now, you're also going to get whatever the expansion is too, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's the first time that I'm like, you know what? I am really okay with them being like, we need some more money for this game. I'm like, yeah, dude, I've been waiting. I feel like I owe you guys money.
Oh, man. A couple of comments I want to read here. Sketch says he's playing Minecraft, Sekiro, Battlefield 5, Division 2, Rage 2, and Warframe. Very interesting.
Is the Rage 2 out yet?
Yeah, it came out this week, dude.
Hey, Brett, you didn't know Rage 2 was coming out?
Excuse me?
I knew it was coming out. I didn't know it did come out.
maybe they just did a bad job of promoting this game.
By the way, that's something people were complaining about, that like they didn't promote this fucking game.
Wait, hold on. Carlos, who are you? No, don't get the reference.
Who even are you?
Oh. Yo, man, the freaking uproar on that shit, man. I don't even know if you guys know what I'm talking about, but that shit is crazy.
That was hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Brian, just, you know, again, fill in up time. Fill us in on that. What are you referencing?
Okay, so what happened is, I think some guy, was it a Forbes or
Frank Forbes? It was Paul Tassi from Forbes.
All right. This guy at Forbes, he writes an article saying that he's surprised that Rage, it was coming out this week. I think that the article dropped last week. And then the Rage 2 account just replies back with, who are you? Or something like that. And people just went crazy about it. Because like, some people were like, oh, the marketing went too far for it, blah, blah, blah. They're attacking journalists, blah, blah. And of course, our favorite person at Kotaku decides to write a tweet and somehow manage to link it to Trump, because Trump's on the board for ZeniMax. I'm just like, how do you link the fact that a rage Twitter said something that I don't think was all that bad? Okay, maybe it was a bit too far, but it's not the worst thing in the world. It's probably just some marketing, and it worked because people are talking about it. So hence, I guess, whatever they were doing, it worked. To Trump, it's like...
That's not bullying, though. That's just getting snubbed.
Yeah. Oh, the best part is they had a Rage 2 like launch trailer, and they had that tweet in the trailer.
Oh, man. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. And by the way, the tweet was literally, well, LOL, who even are you? Oh, my God. That was hilarious. And then he writes like a counter thing to that. It's like, okay, bro, so you threw shade at them, they threw the shade at you, and then you act like a victim? Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because... Okay. Because
you've gone too far bullying journalists. Really, you're just an asshole.
You're allowed, but here's the thing: you're allowed to say all this bullshit about one company, and you don't. What if a company decide, hey, I'm going to just say something back?
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. Exactly.
Corporations are people too.
Yeah. Rage 2 has good shooting, but everything else is crap. That's what Glorious War says. I don't want to play it anymore.
So a sequel to Rage.
Oh, shit.
I've been hearing like Rage 2 is not that great. It's
the first one wasn't that good, though.
Re-Rage.
I'm hearing that stuff in here is just kind of like it's sort of worse. So hence, I'm going like, stay away from now.
I just need a good game to play. Like, can just...
We do, Brett. It's called Divinity.
I do.
Oh, yeah, but that game came out like 2 years ago.
That's what I'm saying.
Dude, say when.
Everybody's burning through their backlog right now. Like, there's not nobody's excited.
Who's burning through their backlog? Are you burning through your backlog? As far as I know, you got a lot of shit in there.
Well, no, like, well, Divinity's in my backlog, yeah. But like, a lot of people that I'm hearing, they're playing older games. Like,
yeah, dude, I just said I beat Ocarina of Time.
That's a new game. You never played that game. I went back to
1998. I'm like, what's at the bottom of my fucking backlog? Oh, there it is.
Like, let's start all the way from the bottom, man.
Hey, Chris, that's a new game. You never played that before.
That's new to me, man. N64, what's that?
Oh, come shit, on. My man Paikuhan. What's up, brother?
You know what? Brian is the master of the old school, man. He's playing like games that are like a full generation behind.
Who here is playing a game that was released in the last 4 to 6 months?
I'm not.
I'm not playing anything right now.
Almost all the ones. Oh, wow. Last 4 to 6 months is pretty much the start of the year.
Yeah. Within the last 6 months.
Yeah, I'm playing stuff.
So basically anything that came out in 2019, I'm definitely...
Well, The Division, like Chris and Adam are playing The Division right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't count because I only play new games now, you know?
Yeah, he's like, man, I don't play that Division shit. I'm in the future now.
Yeah.
Tony, what are you playing now?
Absolutely nothing. I don't feel like playing any games. I'm like, I don't care.
Yo, man, he's reading comic books.
I'd rather read comics and I'm also reading Descendant of the Elders by Gary Swabey. Go check it out over on Amazon right now.
Plug.
You know?
We got a whole bunch of people releasing stuff.
By the way, this isn't unusual, right? I always get this way before E3, and E3 usually kicks me out of it. But I'm not going to E3 this year, so will I just feel this way until summer?
I'm gonna make sure I do all this awesome shit, right? And then you'll be like, man, I wish I was there.
Yeah. Oh no, I have no doubt that the after stuff is gonna be fucking awesome. I just don't know about these games. Which I will
not probably be going to because I'm not that way.
E3 this year is not. It's gonna be kind of lame.
It is. That's why I'm not going. Like, there's nothing there. You know.
It's the dying labors. Exactly. Of this console cycle, and so basically like, hey everybody, get psyched for next year. We've pretty much pushed everything to the pipeline that's worth pushing through, and anything that's actually valuable, we've just gone ahead and pushed that over to the next generation.
Exactly.
So, it's a whole crafts until next year. We'll see with the new console launch.
Yeah, it's like, Brett, to me it just feels like a holding pattern here. It's like, all right, let's just circle around for another year and then we'll finally land, you know? Like, you know, when you're landing in a city, it's like, oh, we got to fly in a circle here for a bit. It's like, oh, fuck, we're already here. Yeah. All right.
Okay. Except for Nintendo. Yeah,
I know people
Nintendo's
are playing.
Not in that boat.
No, Nintendo's still doing their thing, man. Just yeah. But I don't play Nintendo games like that, you know? I don't care.
But Nintendo doesn't do E3 a whole lot.
They're going to have something, though. They gotta have some. Glorious War says a Plague Tale looks good. A lot of people are talking about that, but again, I don't care. I'm fucking rats, you know, whatever.
Wait, don't you mean
rats? Rich liked it. I don't know if Rich told you. I'll tell you some stuff about it. Interesting. I don't know.
I saw like there's a girl with some rats. Who the fuck cares? What happened, Brett?
A game where you're a rat?
No, it's a game where I by the way, I haven't played it, I haven't read it, I don't know what's going on. It just looks like your main character, your girl, and you control rats.
No, you don't control rats.
You're avoiding rats. You're avoiding rats.